Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Nolan Samber with Infinite Banking Radio. I'm sitting here with one of our newest associates here at Nowlin Associates, Jackson Lin. He's a 26-year-old go-getting entrepreneur that's excited about infinite banking and all the things that we do, wealth management here at Nowlin in Homewood, Alabama. And so we're going to talk briefly a little bit about some real estate stuff, but the majority of this conversation is going to be specific towards why using cash value life insurance is going to mathematically enhance returns and allow people to be in complete control of their finances so much faster than they would if they were using the traditional banking system or just using cash. So quickly before we get started, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor. My Financial Snapshot is the official sponsor of the Infinite Banking Radio podcast. My Financial Snapshot builds personal financial tools to help you track your finances. Their Snapshot tool is the first easy-to-use and reusable personal financial statement builder available online. It's the perfect solution for real estate investors and business owners. Their budgeting tool takes the hassle of budgeting away and lets you focus on the results of your budget. Individuals can get unlimited access to their tools and educational resources for $44.99 a year or $6.99 a month. For Infinite Banking Radio listeners, use coupon code INFINITE20 for 20% off your subscription for life. Use the link in the description and get started making personal finance easy and simple today. Jackson, thanks so much for coming on the Infinite Banking Radio show today, man. Appreciate your time. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, man, let's just get into it, man. Tell me more kind of about you, 30,000 feet, how you got into this, infinite banking strategy, this idea, you know, what you're doing at Nowlin Associates and what you're trying to help your clients achieve.
Yeah, I had a kind of wild ride to get into finance, started in healthcare first, but ran into a colleague, Zach Sims, here at Nowlin Associates. We both ended up going to Homewood. He's a good bit older than me, but met some of the guys here at the firm, and it's a great group of people, guys and girls, and I really enjoyed the culture. Was different than all the other financial advising firms that I met with.
Well, yeah, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you've got a couple things going. Again, infinite banking is different than what they tell you on CNBC, what your employer tells you to do with your money, the 401ks, the IRAs, you know, this investing for retirement idea. Can you go into more about, you know, your opinion of what infinite banking is and how you help your clients and the people here with Nowlin, kind of break free of the traditional banking and the whole financial model that's, you know, kind of set up to work against you? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, and that's kind of part of the culture that I thought was so different, and what excited me about this firm was how the advisors take into account the savings dollars, not just your investing dollars. And that's kind of a problem with a lot of advisors these days, is they're only incentivized by you investing in assets under management, stocks, mutual funds, and nobody really takes the time. Typical advisors don't take the time to talk about saving strategies and helping you invest in other things like real estate or growing your business. So that's what really got me excited and why I joined the firm.
Awesome. Well, give me your 30,000 foot view. What is infinite banking? How do you help clients? Like you said, a lot of people, a lot of wealth managers are focused on AUM or assets under management. What makes Nowlin different? Why is this infinite banking concept so unique? And how do you explain this idea to your clients?
Well, the infinite banking concept is really that. It's a concept. It's a process. It's not necessarily a product. It's how do we manage our money in a creative way? And Nelson Nash just kind of uses the process with the best tool, the best savings tool. And that's a life insurance policy structured specifically for cash storage. And that way we get a guaranteed growth and on our cash, just like a high interest savings account, except it's tax sheltered and we get the ability to leverage that cash for growing our businesses, for investing in real estate, and just financing any life purchases and living our life how you want to live your life.
You know, when I was first introduced to this concept, I was a arrogant 27-year-old kid that thought he knew everything because I owned a couple, you know, rental houses. And very quickly after I was introduced to it from Mike Schwalla, who's now in our, you know, an associate here, my biggest thought was I was comparing the returns of a real estate deal to the returns of a life insurance policy. You know, once I discovered that they're two different things, one is guaranteed and one's not. Investment is has risk, right? It can, the value can go up or down. Well, in these insurance policies, there is no risk because they're guaranteed to appreciate in value every single year. When I was first discovered, again, infinite banking, it's not, like you mentioned, it's not so much a life insurance policy, but rather a behavior. It's a way that people behave with their money. You can practice infinite banking with a shoebox underneath your bed. It's when you take money out of an account, you charge yourself the market rate of interest when you fill that account back up. So when most people are considering this idea, what is probably most people's objection? What objection do you normally get? That's been my, I've got a few in my own pocket. There's a lot of people that think that there's a loud guy out there that says buy term, invest the difference. But when you're going and talking with your clients, you know, what do a lot of people normally initially not like about this, but then, or some initial objections that you kind of walk them through and help them understand that some of these objections really aren't bad things, they're actually assets on a balance sheet. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I'd say the important thing is differentiating between savings and investing. You use your savings dollars to go and invest in assets, hopefully income producing assets. So that's the difference here. We can have our savings dollars in a safe place with a guaranteed growth and also leverage those funds to do investments other places. So that's kind of the big difference, is that differentiation between savings versus investing. It's when you compare rate of return, well, you can get that rate of return on whatever it might be that you're wanting to invest in, but you can still keep that uninterrupted compounding growth in your savings dollars.
So Jackson, when you're talking about leveraging, when you say the word leveraging, giving your dollars to leverage, can you kind of go and explain in detail like what you mean, how someone can leverage a life insurance policy to invest in real estate or a business or pay off debts or own debts and own cash flows? How does somebody leverage a life insurance policy?
Well, it's, you can take money out of your typical savings account and it no longer grows. You just interrupted that growth. It could be a high 4% interest savings account, but as soon as you take money out, that money is no longer making interest for you. So when we're leveraging, the reason we do that, meaning taking a loan from our own cash, we're doing that so that we don't interrupt the uninterrupted compounding. Say if you've got $50,000 in your savings account and you take a loan for $10,000 out, well, your $50,000 is still growing at 4%, but your 10% or $10,000 loan, that's only making a small amount of interest charge compared to the growth on the savings account. So that's the crucial key, is not interrupting the growth and using those dollars in the form of a loan to pay off debt or buy assets.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways that I can distinguish a life insurance policy loan and, you know, for a person that's in real estate, this is the biggest way, if you can see this in your mind's eye. Imagine you went and bought $1 million building and you put $100,000 down, right? You know, the value of the asset is worth $1 million. The down payment of $100,000 is your equity in that house, right, or that building. Every month you pay a mortgage payment. Some of that might go to interest, but the majority of it will go to the principal. So you're building equity in that property. It's almost identical in life insurance. When you go and buy a life insurance policy, whole life specifically designed for cash, you go put a percentage of that first year towards cash and a percentage towards purchasing that asset, which is the death benefit in the life insurance company's eyes. So anytime that you decide to take a policy loan, it's almost identical like taking a line of credit, like a HELOC. I would ask somebody, when you go and borrow against your home equity line of credit in real estate, does that affect the appreciation of your home? It doesn't, because the value of your house, and we can talk about the real estate market, that's not the point of this. The value of the real estate is going to continue to appreciate no matter if the property is leveraged against or not. The asset doesn't know if there is a mortgage against that property, or it doesn't know if it's 100% leverage, or doesn't know if the property is paid off. This is identical to how these life insurance policies work and how you can leverage the same way. The asset of the death benefit and the cash value will continue to compound and grow at a guaranteed rate every year, regardless if you've borrowed against the asset of the policy or not. It's contractually obligated to do that. And that's kind of when I discovered, hey, what if I was to do something crazy and borrow against my life insurance policy to go and invest in real estate to really supercharge my return? So Jackson, I guess my question then is too, is how do you advise some of your real estate investors to use policy loans when they are going to maybe potentially either pay off a car or most importantly, try and grow their net worth by buying assets like real estate?
Yeah, as investors, a lot of times want to look at return on investment. So that's one of the great things about leveraging your life insurance policy, your cash value in your life insurance policy, to, say, invest in real estate. You can increase your return on investment because you're not putting your cash out of your bank account into the investment. So if you're a real estate investor, you probably understand the value of leverage and using other people's money to make you money. Well, now you're using the life insurance company's money to make you money. So you just decrease the denominator on the return on investment calculation because you use the life insurance money again, and your cash did not leave the interest earning cash value.
So as we're starting to get close to wrapping this thing up, I guess for most people, again, when they hear whole life insurance, they initially get spooked because I was the same way. When I first got started in this, I was, you know, my parents told me do the buy term, invest the difference thing, do what Dave Ramsey and the boys were talking about. What does it someone require in order to use this life insurance product or this infinite banking concept? Because for me, it really stretched my way of thinking and being open-minded. So how do you help your clients really think bigger and think more outside the box than maybe just doing what they're told, you know, through social media and what they talk about online?
Yeah, well, one thing to say about this infinite banking concept is it's not new, revolutionary. Nolan and I did not come up with this, you know, in the last 5 years or yesterday. It's something that the wealthy have used and still use, and banks use the same strategies. So we're really copying the same strategies that other people, much more successful people, and the most successful financial institutions use and have been using for a long time. So it's nothing new and crazy. It's just about managing cash flow in a more efficient manner to hopefully grow net worth or... a lot of times for people like me, you have student loans and paying down liabilities, right? We're starting off life. We get out of college and we might have a great high-paying job, but we've got loads of student loans to pay off. So this also helps us pay down liabilities, those loans, in a way that allows us to accrue a cash value that we can then leverage to maybe later on pay down more debt or hopefully start growing that net worth to leave ourselves in a situation down the line in 20 years where we can live the lives that we want to live, we could do what we want to do, and leave something for our families and grow a family generational wealth.
I love it, man. That's awesome news. And again, guys, it's Jackson Lynn over here at Now & Associates here in Birmingham, and he's one of our new associates. He's really fired up about the infinite banking concept, what we're trying to teach people to get outside the traditional banking system and help guys who maybe are in a similar situation to Jackson where you've got some student loans or you've got maybe some debts that are outstanding. Give him a call. Give us a call here at Nallen to help you find a better solution than just paying principal and interest and slaving away to all these other big banks that have all these mortgages that are owning cash flows, because that's really the name of the game here is controlling and owning cash flows, then redirecting them back to ourselves. So Jackson's an expert at that, especially for people in that realm where you might just have a new job out of the gate. You're starting to really work in the world, but you've got these loans, and Jackson's can be an expert to show you how to not only what is normally an outgoing liability, but turn that into a cash flowing asset that's going to be redirected back to yourself. So, Jackson, any last words kind of before we get rolling out of here?
No, I appreciate you having me on here, and appreciate everybody listening, and hope you have a good rest of your day.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you guys on the next one.